Hello and welcome to Hosts of Ascalon, a Guild Wars 2 podcast where two or three enthusiastic fangirls gush about adorable pigs. Gush!
Yay. Gush! Oh, the gushing will happen.
Yes.
A gushing we will go.
I am Hashtag and I am joined by Alona and a super special surprise even to us. Guest host Spirit from Relics of Or. Welcome.
Hi. Hi. Still have my pants on my head, but we're doing it. We're doing it. We're getting there.
It makes for extra special podcasting when you wear pants on your head.
Absolutely. Yes.
We're super glad that you are here with us tonight. It's going to be an awesome podcast. And before we get started, a quick reminder that you can get in touch with us with news, questions, or comments by emailing us at hostsofascalon@gmail.com or on Twitter at hostsofascalon. We usually start things off with Chivos, where we discuss what we've been up to in Guild Wars 2. Alona, would you like to start us off?
Sure. I actually have not been in-game an awful lot in the last 2 weeks, but I did get the opportunity to run some story mode of Twilight Arbor with, I think it was like Panther Zero, and shockingly, my husband Cal agreed to join us. So we four-manned the story mode because we were doing it on alts and none of us had unlocked the story. So we had to do that. And then we did one of the explorable paths. And I can't remember which one it was. Up, I think? Maybe? I don't know. And we destroyed everything in our path, and it was stupid fun. There was only four of us. We did pretty decent. But
that's great. I love Twilight Arbor. It was my very first dungeon, and it took a lot of guts for me to do it, as in, like, I was part of a really big guild, and they had these whole big training runs to get ready. It was like raids to get ready for dungeons, and I was afraid of doing a dungeon because I thought it was, like, this intense thing, and yeah, so it was the very first dungeon I did. It was one of those ones where, like, we're walking carefully through every single little step and we're being told exactly where to position ourselves and what to do and high intensity. But now it's like, oh, I could do this one in my sleep. I love it. It's fun. Yeah. It's great.
I know I had obviously had done the story mode, but I probably only did it one or two times, and it would have been like 6 years ago. And honestly, there were parts I just legitimately did not remember. I really enjoyed doing this. I might just do story mode of things once in a while anyway, just for fun. Speaking of which, Panther and I did personal story up to level 10 on our new char characters. And in both instances, we were experiencing story we had never done before. I think every time I had done personal story with other people who had chars, or the only other char I had made, they were all like the same selections.
Mm-hmm.
And so both he and I had ones, parts of them that I had never experienced before. And it was just delightful. There were so many dialogue gems in the char storyline. If you've never played char, not YouTube, because I know you have, but like anyone listening, if you've never played char, you totally should, because their personal story is amazing.
Yes, I second that wholeheartedly. There's some absolute gems in the personal story, and it, even if you go through the same ones, sometimes they vary based on because the sort of theme of it is building up a warband. You encounter these different characters, and there's a lot of different choices of which characters come with you based on your choices and even your biography choices. You kind of, as you create a char, you pick a character to be a stalwart companion to you. And even those lines, Dinky will be forever my man, but there are some other great char characters in that background choice that you can go for as well.
Yeah. It was just delightful. And I was thinking, you know, I think I might use a spare character slot just to go through all the personal story combinations from all the races, just to experience, at least to level 10, just to experience those, like mm-hmm. make, play, mm-hmm. delete. I've been running the Lunar New Year dailies pretty compulsively, nabbing a few of the festival chivos as well. Not as many, like, I need to get better. Like, I haven't been in Dragon Ball at all, like, at all.
Oh, me either.
And, yeah, so there's things I still definitely need to do. I don't have the annual done yet, and I want those 50 AP.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm gonna have to do those. And I love getting the 16 envelopes, as well as the 3 if you're in a guild with a guild trader. If you have guild commendations, I think it is, right?
Oh, yes. Yes.
Yeah. Yep. You can get 3 additional of those every day.
Are they at the same level?
Yeah.
Ooh, yep. I need to do that.
Yes. I've been doing those pretty compulsively. I've just been step 3 profit. Like, and I know there's the you wait until the end and go into Silver Waste and get your magic find up crazy high. I am too much of a squirrel.
Oh no.
I cannot do it. I just like get as high as I possibly can while in Lion's Arch or Lion's Arch in Divinity's Reach. And I'm like, I open them right there and then sell them. And it just makes me so happy. But I opened 19 and got over 30 gold today.
Nice.
So much to hashtag chagrin at my luck.
Ugh, it's not fair. If I were not in the Silver Waste and I did not have my magic find super up, I would get like negative gold. So yeah.
Is it possible to get negative gold out of those?
Yeah, it's pretty tough to break even. I think the latest research I'd seen on it, because I actually maxed out my magic find this year, so I was like, oh, I wonder what I can do with this. The latest research I've seen is that you break even up to about 850% magic find, which is huge.
Whoa.
So for most people, it's as good on average just to sell them on the trading post, and you'll profit probably more than you would from opening them, unless you can jack your magic find up way very high. So
wow.
Okay, so yeah. I'm on.
You can get one of those. That's fine.
I have, like, even when I get it fairly high without going to Silver Waste, obviously, I'm shy of 400. So I'm like 390-ish. But I don't think I've ever not at least broken even or made a profit, because I keep track of what my gold is. Maybe, because I keep track. I like look what I had before I buy the 16, and then look what I have when I sell back to the trader, and it's always higher. So huzzah. I love it. Finally, I've slowly been plugging away at several long-term achievement goals. There are things other people have gotten long time ago, and I'm just working on them. Oh, and actually one thing I forgot to write down here, I was continuing to do the Living World Season 2 with my friend, and we did the story step where we're chasing Aaron through the sandy areas where we first meet the Master of Peace. Yeah. And so it was that area where there's all those effects happening, right, and you have to like catch him, like he's up high, and even with me helping him, was about ready to uninstall the game.
Oh boy.
Oh.
He was like, I don't know what's happening. I hate everything about this. This is the worst.
You get ganked by so many of those vines there. That can really, well, yeah.
And actually, he was using a warrior longbow and he was firing from the ground. And I was going up top and doing that because he could not handle any of the other things. So, I mean, I keep thinking, oh, I wish to get back in and get him continuing with that. But he was not pleased. I'll have to do some cajoling and see how well I can get him back in to do that.
Yeah.
Spirit, what have you been up to?
At the moment, I've been on the raid train real hard. That's Ooh. Always been, I know it's shocking to everyone involved. honestly, I was so sick in January that I pretty much stopped. I couldn't even play games for a couple of weeks. So I'm right in that sweet spot at the moment where like I'm well enough to sit at my computer and play games, but like it's sick enough that I can be like, oh, I can't cook tonight.
Living the dream.
Yeah. So it's been really good because that's always been, you know, sort of my favorite thing, the thing that keeps me motivated. So I've done a couple of different things in raids recently, but mostly it's just the normal stuff clears, and it just feels good to be back into it because I just thrive on that cooperative team high stress environment. Actually, Pear, we raided together the other night.
Yeah, it was before the last show, so you got kudos on the last show.
Okay, I see.
From me. Because cool. I did comment on how forgiving and welcoming your group is.
And we joked about the conversation that we had, Spirit, back when I was still playing on my laptop, and you were like, mm-hmm. I wondering why, when I look at the, you know, replay, you're moving so interestingly. In other words, what the heck are you doing? Playing with a trackpad.
You're just like, you're not moving like normal humans.
Did I say that?
No.
Sounds like a thing I would say, but not mean it in that way. You know?
I think you were a lot more diplomatic.
Oh, yes. Very diplomatic. But now I play with a mouse, so it's all good.
So I've been loving the raid life. What else? Oh, yeah. Yesterday, literally just yesterday, we had a guild event. We called it Murder Hobos, which is a play on the sort of trope of, you know, people in games just like showing up and killing everything and taking all their stuff.
I love that.
We did another run of that. So the main concept of the event is you get a bunch of people together. Everyone strips down naked. You start with no gear. You equip only what you loot, and you cannot use the trading post or merchant, but you can trade with people in your squad. So if somebody gets, hey, I've got some heavy armor. Oh, let's send it over here. So we took a squad of 50 people into Dragonstand and went and crushed that with the
Oh my gosh.
And you know, snowballing down the lane, everybody trading armor to each other. It was crazy. It was a ton of fun. We went with a whole bunch of different guilds. And it was so good. So we're looking to do that again sometime soon in the future, taking suggestions on places to go. We've done it in Silver Wastes in the past, and now Dragonstand, and we're thinking about maybe down to Path of Fire, maybe another Heart of Thorns map. Don't know.
Actually, Korna might be interesting, because with all the rifts, that could be kind of interesting. I think I saw that was happening. Arrow, I think, posted it in Discord. I made note and then forgot. So my loss.
That does sound like a lot of fun, though. Oh, you should do it with Triple Trouble.
Ooh.
That would be hard. Be
good. good/hard. Mm-hmm. Was that it for you, Spirit?
I mean, I think so. who knows what I've been up to lately? Just general. Oh, I'm map completing at the moment. Hey, if you haven't seen, if you're a fan of Guild Wars 2 Taco, yes, Tekkit's Workshop put out a marker pack, which is essentially just a trail that leads you all the way around the world completion, and it's set up to include things for mounts. So I've been following that in the last couple days. It only came out a couple days ago, I think. You know, time is wibbly wobbly, and that's why I'm here. But anyway, yeah. So I've been enjoying. If you just want a good, like, I would like to turn off my brain and do something rote in Guild Wars 2, then it's excellent. It's like beautifully set up, all super well polished. Icons for, like, every time you go past a heart, there's a little card that just appears next to the heart that says, you know, if you kill Scale, you get 10% of the heart and 15% for turning in eggs and blah, blah, blah. Little breakdown. So well polished and just beautiful and such, like, an easy, nice experience to use. I've done a bunch of the other map completion guides in the past when I've been going at it real hardcore, and this one's definitely my favorite. So
I'm glad you brought that up, because I had heard about that last night, I think, and I completely forgot. Actually, I have a quick question about that for you. When you're doing map completion, do you stop to harvest and gather and stuff? Just out of curiosity.
I do not. I feel like I'm settling an argument that I don't know about. But no, I tend to skip past things.
I just wonder if it's just me that stops for all of that.
No, I'm a curmudgeonly old person. I don't know if you knew, but when I have to stop to do things and my character's like ripping weeds out of the dirt, I'm like, ugh, can't stand this. I'm one of those people that has I've got a couple sets of Unbreakable gathering tools, and I have the super fast gather skin on it with the super fast gather glyph on my plants, so I can rip potatoes out of the ground at maximum speed.
All right, I've been up to some things this week. Normally my notes when we do what we've been up to in the week, usually I have a couple bullet points, but I went a little long here for whatever reason. I have been busy and I've been in game a lot. I think it's partly just reaction to being sick and being out of game. So I got back in, got a bunch accomplished. So I tweeted earlier this week that I need to eat crow about my opinions that I stated in the last podcast about the Dwarven Catacombs and the plate puzzle. I remember Boots saying like, oh, it's amazing. It's the best thing and I love it. And I was saying, I hate it and it's awful. And I think a lot of that was the flu talking, and I had no sense of reason. But now I've done the plate puzzle and the treasure hunt several times. I've explored the catacombs, and I love it. I absolutely love it. Boots was completely right. The treasure hunt's fun. I like how it all works together. I like the special action key. I like the communal part of the treasure hunt. So even when, you know, you're not with your guildies, oftentimes people will shout out and say chat like, hey, the treasure's over here. And it's just fun. Good fun.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and I actually did that with you in Zero last night.
Yeah, yeah. It was great. And then the verticality in the catacombs part, is it Brecknar's? Is that right? Brecknar's gauntlet? That is insanely well done. There's so much detail there. It's a lot of fun to bunny hop up and use a new mastery. All the parts of it, I think it's really great. So I give the Dwarven Catacombs 5 out of 5 stars.
Would bunny again.
Also, I crossed over 20,000 AP this week.
Huzzah! So,
congrats.
Yeah, thanks. I crossed over 20,000 AP this week. Super excited because we talked on the last episode about the amount of AP that was in the Lunar New Year achievements, and I thought it was not enough, but apparently it was, and I was just not seeing things. So again, extreme flu. That's my one excuse for everything. With the 20,000 box comes 400 gems. So now I'm sitting on 400 gems. I feel insanely rich and I don't know what to spend them on, but we'll see. Maybe a pig glider is in my future. On Sunday, I actually joined up with Spirit and Relics. Yeah. So this is great. We get to talk about this with you here. Someone on Relics put out a call for a tier 4 run of fractals, and I joined in, and it's been at least a year, I think, since I've done tier 4 fractals. When we've done them together, Pear, I feel like we've done lower tier 1, just depending on who was around and what AR was was available. So
yeah. Or timing. Like, we don't have time to do some of the more higher levels that might take longer. It's like, we just want to plow through this as fast as possible.
Oh, absolutely. So thankfully, Spirit et al. Are able to sort of carry a passable necro like me. So I thought the runs went pretty smoothly. We had to do a couple pulls on some of them, but overall, I thought it went pretty well. What'd you think, Spirit?
Yeah, pretty good. Can't remember exactly the party comp we had, but it was nice and balanced, and we were able to turn through everything and live, and it was, I don't think we wiped it all. Good times.
Yeah, it was fun.
That sounded like a sports interview reply, and I kind of loved it.
It's me trying to remember a fractal run from a few days ago.
It wasn't a raid. It didn't stick in my mind. So anyway, my main takeaway is that fractals are awesome. I need to do them more because
me too.
They're a lot of fun. And I had all of my AR on my staff, and right before we started, I put AR on my torch and scepter so I could run that instead, and it was a lot of fun. So I'm happy about that, and now I'm ready to run more fractals. So let's do it.
Okay, twist my arm.
Yes. For Lunar New Year, I completed the meta for the year, which I thought was surprisingly easy. So you're going to get it, Pear. You're going to do it. It's not that much. You got it. You did the race today.
I did.
Sort of.
And I did the foot race.
Yeah. Yep. And I tried to keep myself from opening envelopes until the end of the festival. And I did not quite break down to the level that Pear did with opening them multiple times on multiple
days. I'm not even ashamed.
But I opened them once, and I did go into the Silver Waste, and I did pretty good. I got my magic find up around 600%, but now hearing from Spirit, that sounds like pitifully low. And
I'm still impressed.
I could do better. Do better. But I made a lot of gold. So I don't know. I think I had somewhere around 200 envelopes that I opened. And
nice.
I want to say I made 90 gold. But there was a little bit of, there were some Black Lion envelopes in there as well. So I don't know if have a different loot table.
They probably do. You get lanterns mostly out of those, and they're just, what are they, seven silver or something like that, or eight silver?
So not bad. And I'm holding off on opening again until next Monday. So I will have an opening party and get the rest done. Finally, I finished the Crucible of Eternity reward track in WW.
Yeah.
Almost entirely through Big Spender and Veteran Creature Slayer.
Nice.
You world versus world like a boss.
I did go in and finish the last 200 XP this week by escorting Doliax. So did my business, got it done. So all this to say, if you're not a regular WWer, but you do the occasional easy daily, you can eventually complete a reward track.
However, side note to that though, you have to do world versus world to be able to do Big Spender, because I haven't been able to do Big Spender for about a month and a half to 2 months because I have no more currency to buy them.
Ooh, yeah, that's a good point. So, you know, go escort some Doliax pair and then you can do your Big Spender.
Okay.
I mean, now that I think it was maybe 2 years ago when they did the update, a year ago, not sure, when they did the WW update where you start getting credit for doing little side things. You know, like now you can just escort Doliax from camps to towers and you get this kind of bubble that comes up over the Doliax and you get credit once the Doliax reaches where they're supposed to reach safely. So it's not too hard. Yeah, I got the breaches for COE for my armor. I chose the COE reward track because it's one of the dungeons that I do the least. I honestly can't remember the last time I did it. So
really?
It's not. Yeah.
I feel like we ran that one more often than anything else. That and Honor of the Waves.
I remember Honor of the Waves. COE, we did it occasionally, but it's not at the same level at all as, like, say, Cauticus Manor or Ascalonian Catacombs or any of that.
Okay.
Yeah. So when I'm looking at the list in general, it felt like this is not something that I'm probably going to get a lot of, you know, credit for. So I should probably pick something like that.
That's fair.
Yeah. So next up, I have queued the Arrah reward track because I think the last time I did Arrah was probably with you, Spirit.
Oh, man, and it's been a minute since I've been in there.
Yeah, yeah.
Actually, is there a Lunar New Year WW track?
I don't think so. Maybe there is. I didn't see it.
Yeah, I don't remember reading about it in the patch notes, so probably not. And now it's time for Posts of Ascalon, where we discuss the latest news in Guild Wars 2. First up, it is the February 5th patch notes. Sweet, sweet patch notes. For Living World, they added a 30-second grace period to turn in oil to clean up the spills and defeat Sulipex before it drains your reclaimed oil events. Those are in Thunderhead Peaks. And we actually definitely noticed that yesterday when we were in there.
Mm-hmm.
That extra time, even though it's only 30 seconds, it feels like a
lot. Oh, yeah.
The oil reclamation pump is no longer removed between those two events. That one, because there's one right at the defeat Sulipex, mm-hmm. and it's always there now.
I was just going to say, it allows you to get the achievements, like the vacuum achievement, a lot quicker, which before also, I think, deals with some of the griefing of certain people are there on their mounts and they just suck everything up. And then, you know, you don't have a chance to get any credit to get the achievement or so share the oil.
Is that really griefing though, or just being opportunistic?
Opportunistic. That's fair.
Yeah. Fixed a bug that prevented volatile oil slug Sulipex health from scaling properly.
It got harder.
Yeah. It way harder. And there were, it's like one hit and you're done.
Uh-oh.
He hit harder, and or she, I don't know. And there were a lot of bugs fixed for chasing tails.
They're for creating the weapons. So between the exotic and the ascended version of the weapons, you've got to complete some achievements, some feats to prove your worth with your weapon of choice.
Oof.
A lot of those had some special conditions on them that were either a little bit difficult or bugged, and so those things have been refined.
There's a list of 7 things that have been addressed for that, so a lot. They added a consume all option for branded masses. What do you do with branded masses?
You use them for the armor.
Or shove them in your mouth, apparently.
In the general category, novelties, preview has been added as an option to the right-click menu for novelties located in the player's inventory. And I've seen a lot of people commenting that they really like this edition. I haven't played with it yet. Have you guys?
Nope.
I have not.
I have not either, but people seem to like it.
Moving on to the Black Lion Trading Company gem store, new items and promotions. The new Flying Boar Glider is available for 500 gems. Yeah.
That's so good.
What's fantastic about it, and you can't capture in a picture, is the quality that it has. Like it has a balloon-esque quality,
yes,
but it's got really great movement to it. It feels mm-hmm. like it's just kind of...
It literally looks like it's floating, even yeah. though it's just pixels.
Right. And it doesn't look like a static kind of thing gliding through the air. It's got really good movement.
It's like micro movements, almost, like, for lack of a better word. I had heard about, like, I read the patch notes. I'm like, oh, okay. And I didn't really, because of what the back item looked like, I was like, oh, well, it's probably no big whoop. Like, or at least it's probably fine, but not something I would be interested in. And I saw it in the preview panel and we're like, well, buying gems is happening right now.
And it dies super well.
It does die super well. And it has like stitching. Like, yep. You can see where the stitching is happening, and it makes amazing oink noises when you take off and land.
No. Yes.
Yes!
I gifted one to my partner, and I should have gifted one to myself.
You should have gifted one to yourself. You,
yes.
Everyone deserves one of these. And it's not like an oink, oink. It's like the...
Oh, it's excellent, so good.
But more pig-like.
Yes, and very cute. And it's both when you deploy it and when you leave it, right? Isn't there a noise when you land? There was like a cute little snuffle.
Yeah, it's like a quieter honk.
Guild Wars, the copy they wrote for this said, if you've ever said something will only happen when pigs fly, good news, this lovable glider technically only slows your descent to the ground.
So good. I didn't think there was anything that would make me switch from the chicken gliders from last year? Was chicken only last year?
Nope, 2 years ago. Dog was last year.
Oh no, we're old. Time happens so much.
That's what was on my little Azura Necro, and now she has this, and it's wonderful.
Yes. Did we have a dog glider last year? I can't remember a dog themed glider. Remember, but
we had the harvesting tools.
That's right. The new Earthshaker mining tool, speaking of harvesting tools, the new Earthshaker mining tool is 1,000 gems. I haven't taken a look at this yet.
I haven't looked at it yet either. And with the name like that, it's probably super obnoxious and I want it.
Uh-huh. Probably takes super long. For a limited time, the Devoted and Lovestruck weapon collections return to Black Lion weapons specialists for a reduced cost of 2 Black Lion claim tickets and 3 Black Lion claim tickets, respectively. For a limited time, the Firestorm logging tool and Thunderstrike harvesting tool return for 1,000 gems each. Thank you for pointing that out, Alona, as I skipped right on past it in the show notes. For a limited time, the Lion Mask skin and Dragon Mask skin, Black Lion instant level 80 ticket, and the Central Tyria Waypoint unlock package are on sale. So scoop those up if you want them. And finally, novelties may now be previewed in the gem store. Our next segment is going to be covered by Spirit. Take it away, Spirit.
So in community news, Guild Wars 2 has a bit of a contest / celebration going on through the month of February called Guild Wars 2 Friend / Ships 2019. This is actually a competition celebration that they ran last year. So it's a reoccurrence of a previously existing thing.
I don't remember it being a contest last year, though. I just thought it was it actually a contest last year?
I mean, there's an element of like featuring certain stories and and isn't there not prizes for it? Yep. Something. Oh, yeah, yeah. Actually, as a matter of fact, this year, if you win the competition, the Compa celebration, you can go on a real world adventure to Gamescom. So there's a bit of a prize for it, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, basically, the idea is that they're asking Tyrians to share stories of real world relationships, friends, family, significant others, guildmates, whatever relationships drive you and inspire you that are fostered by or grew out of playing Guild Wars and the general Guild Wars universe. And apparently last year they had an overwhelming response, so they wanted to do it again and hear about all the good stuff that they didn't get to hear about last time.
I think it's cool too. I've seen some of the stuff that they've been posting and other people have been posting, seeing the things that have happened even in the past year. So people who met up even, you know, last February when this was just getting started, and now here we are a year later and they're sharing how far they've come and you know, their relationships and stuff. So it's cool.
Yeah. And we kind of did it last year, but it was after the competition was over. But oh, well.
We did.
I was actually thinking of submitting with Celeste, actually.
Oh, you should. Yes.
Do it.
Yeah.
Do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
As I'm like, I message her almost daily. Still. Well, we go through fits and starts, but still.
Hashtag Salona.
Yeah.
If you want to participate, you can share your story as a text post, include screenshots or a video, and you can tag it with hashtag GW2Friendships on YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, Tumblr, or Facebook, and they will all be collected on a special page on the Guild Wars 2 website for the whole community to read.
So if you're bashful, don't do it. but you might get a yep. prize if you do.
Additionally, if you want to be in the running for the prizes as well as just the Compla celebration, you can add hashtag GW2 giveaway to your post and you'll be entered into the sweepstakes to win 800 gems, a custom art commission from the creative art partners, and a grand prize winner will get a trip for two to Gamescom 2019.
Now, is that... Wait, how does this work? What if it's more than two people that are involved in this?
It is a trip for two. Okay. 2019.
You have a group of 10 people who became super friends. Fight.
Draw straws.
Fight to see who wins.
One be a free-for-all in the Guildhall Arena. And the winners have to go to Gamescom.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, I wanted live action.
Okay.
Live action
fighting. Hunger Games.
Yeah, basically, yes, Hunger Games. And in Guild Wars 1 news, the Guild Wars Complete Collection is now available. ArenaNet announced that the Guild Wars Complete Collection is available now at guildwars.com for $39.99 USD. It will include all three of the game's campaigns, plus the Eye of the North expansion. This collection will give players everything the original Guild Wars has to offer in one complete package. And I actually looked through and it includes like the Game of the Year and mocks. And so anything you would have got for buying kind of the upgraded versions of some of the stories, you would get in this as well.
After I just purchased everything. Thank you, Guild Wars.
Separately. Additionally, and this is possibly the even bigger news, Guild Wars received a patch yesterday containing content, updates, and various quality of life improvements, including a new item called the Zunlai Material Storage Expansion. This item can be purchased up to 9 times in-game for $9.99 apiece. Each purchase will increase capacity for material storage by 250 items up to a maximum of 2,500 items. Other improvements include updated AI for skill usage by heroes, henchmen, and monsters, new runes that increase inventory bag slots, and more. If you want more details, including complete patch notes, please check out the blog post at guildwars2.com. News, make history with the Guild Wars Complete Collection. So we're doing Guild Wars 1 patch notes, people. This is happening. Like, how many years?
I have to say,
I'm still in shock.
This is Alona. I've been texting today, and, you know, I let her know, like, hey, updated the show notes, got everything started, blah, 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 blah. And then she texts me back and is like, there were quality of life updates to Guild Wars 1 yesterday. Exclamation point, exclamation point. Ima, add those to the doc.
I hadn't looked at the doc yet, but I knew I was adding these. Selling Golden Greed items to vendors now has a confirmation to prevent accidental selling of those items. So green are perfect items, and gold, what would you say, hashtag that, or spirit, that would be like the equivalent of ascended and legendary?
I would say it's like exotic and ascended, because, I mean, they have the same level stats, but golds you can customize by putting sigils and stuff in them. You can change the aspects of it, where green gear is always the same stat no matter what. So it doesn't have a direct equivalent. I guess, yeah, legendary is kind of a...
Yeah, I was only thinking because they're usually applied to very... But they're not difficult to get, so...
Yeah, I mean, they're more like... rares versus exotics and how frequently they drop in Guild Wars. It's just a very different game.
Yeah.
But it's still valuable enough that you don't want to sell those, because those will be the items that you're using most of the time to complete content. So you don't want to whoops my staff like that one time I vendored Dusk.
Updated the AI for heroes, henchmen, and monsters using a whole bunch of skills. So there was a whole list of skills that got updated. For monsters, these changes apply only to hard mode, except for cases in which skills were used extremely incorrectly.
Whoa!
Or caused
That phrasing.
I know. Or caused changes to behavior while their effect was active. You know, I think that just goes how I play all of the Guild Wars 2 games. Used extremely incorrectly. If anyone's talking to anyone from ArenaNet, I want to know what that means. Like, I want an example of a skill that was used extremely incorrectly.
Moving on to the default mail carrier, we have some mail from our listeners that we have been hanging on to for a while. We are super excited to finally get to it. Lotta Minimum, what a great name, wrote into us to say, you've got a new fan. Hey guys, Lotta Minimum here. I've been a huge fan of Guild Wars 2 since its launch. However, I took a break right at the start of Heart of Thorns, and I finally returned only to find there's so many new maps and tons of living story to catch up on. To really give myself a fresh new experience, I created a new account and bought both X-Packs as a bundle. I'm still scratching my head as to why I did that, as hearing you guys talk about the 6-year anniversary got me to log into my old account to collect those 6-year presents. Just discovered your podcast and have been listening religiously while at work. It's made my days so much more enjoyable. Got a question before I ramble on too long. Do you feel I should play the Living World and all its content in the order it was released? Or should I jump ahead to the mounts in order to traverse the map better? I can't help but get a little discouraged that many players find navigating some maps without mounts very difficult. See you guys in game. Yours for the time, your newest listener, Lotta Minimum, .7698. Alona, what's your opinion on this?
First of all, huge apologies to Lotto, because they sent this in before Christmas.
Oh boy.
And it's taken this out. So. Thank you for writing in. Super sorry it took this long. I know that you find it discouraging, but if it were me, I would at least get the Raptor mount. So play just enough POF to get the Raptor mount and then do the story in order. But I like playing through the story and understanding. But as I've said, I'm playing through with my friend, and he's finding elements of season 2 kind of frustrating. So
yeah. I would agree with that. I feel like I don't know if my recommendation kind of depends on if you're doing it alone or if you're with a group. You know what I mean? Like, if you're with a group or you're with a friend, I feel like season 2 is a different experience than if you're just going at it alone. And, you know.
Yes. Do you think that's true for any of the non-current content. Like once, whereas like season two, a lot of it was instanced. So it would change with more people, but it's not like you're in a zone that is like maybe not as populated.
Maybe. Yeah. I mean, and I do think that once you get into season three, when you're in Heart of Thorns, that, I don't know, I haven't been in Verdant Brink in a while. Is it still happening? I mean, are people still there?
It's pretty busy.
Moving stuff around. So that's good. I mean, yeah, for the open world stuff, I think, and you know, not bad, not bad.
If you do have the option to go with a friend, a guildmate, or anybody else who can just generally be bribed into doing the story for you, one option you have is you can set up the story so that you're the instance owner and open the instance. And or actually, it's probably best that you're not the instance owner. Strike that, reverse it. if you're not the instance owner, but you're on that story step as well, you can go in and have somebody else complete the story for you, and you can just kind of willfully sit at the entrance with your back turned. And, you know, if it's really important to you to not experience that story, but to have those mechanical unlocks, since they're tied to the first chapters, there are ways that you can go through with another person and get those unlocks while, you know, keeping your blinders on so you can experience it in the way that you would like to do. So yeah, just an option that you have if you really want that.
That is a good tip. I never have considered that.
Flipside Parallel has something to say about the Crystal Dragon. Have to get my thoughts out of my head and into words. I saw the ending coming even before Aurene's vision in the last story segment. She's got to die so she can come back as Dragon Jesus. I'm guessing she'll be stepping into Zaitan's shoes. I also think the Pale Tree or her offspring will be taking Morgrimmar's place, but I digress. Still halfway through the final battle, I really started to get my hopes up that we might win this thing outright. They did a great job. They did a great job making the commander a real leader, rallying the troops and all. Everyone was pitching in. It was awesome, which of course makes the end hurt that much more. I do like that we hear Ritlock in disbelief at the end. Must really be an echo of his last battle with that Elder Dragon. Also, the whole final sequence, stumbling towards the inevitable, was spot on and exactly how I felt at that moment. Though through this whole living story, I wanted there to be an action available whenever you're standing next to Aurene. Comfort.
Yeah.
Hit F. Yep. Flipside Parallel.
That would have been a pretty great addition, actually. I would have used it. It would be like the whale in Lion's Arch. Do you remember that before the Karka event started?
Whale.
Watering the whales?
Yeah. So there used to be whales in the harbor of Lion's Arch. And before the Karka event, no one knew what was happening, one of the whales beached up on land. And there were buckets and you could like water this whale, like dump buckets of water on it. And there was nothing, you got nothing for doing it. Achievement. There was no reward. There was nothing. And people would sit there for hours watering this whale. And so if it could have just been a comfort button, that would have, I would use it for Aurene because Aurene. And I think this is a great email, Flipside. I think it hits all the notes I went through when I was playing too.
Yeah, I agree.
Coffee and Quest is generally awesome and writes, long time no see. I just caught up and wanted to say it's awesome back after a break. Everyone needs one every so often. Two things. Alona, you are absolutely not the only one who /forge/etc. in Ascalon and thinks, human, I do it every time. Yes. Thank you. Ascalon is human lands. and I will never not think that. Also, I was visiting my Guild Wars 1 character and thought of something. Did either of you have a place in Guild Wars 2, 1, where you kind of park when you're still logged in but not actively playing? In Guild Wars 1, I always hung around in Bergen Hot Springs. It was a teeny outpost, but it was gorgeous and really relaxing to listen to the music/ambient noise. I tend to park in the Oasis in Northern Drytop nowadays while I'm just chatting or doing other things playing. Anyway, glad you're back. Can't wait to hear your thoughts on All or Nothing, which was last episode. D&Q. So for Guild Wars 1, I think it was Kamadan because that was Nightfall was the first campaign I had purchased. So that would be for that one, or Lion's Arch. And for Guild Wars 2, it's the Royal Terrace, or the last place I happen to be before I stating I need to log off for the night, but then hang out for another hour chatting with guildies. And that could just be anywhere.
Oh, yeah. Very true. Mm-hmm. And for me, it's either Mistlock Sanctuary or the Guild Hall, but more likely a cliff face that I shove my nose into and hope that no creatures wander by. I'm actually finding a lot of really great places in Thunderhead Keep while waiting for the meta. So there's lots of high up nooks and crannies that I like to just kind of jump way up on top of different mountains and overlook the map while I wait for, you know, 10 minutes to tick by until the meta.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any spirit?
I tend to, surprising no one, I think, I tend to spend a lot of time in the Lion's Arch Aerodrome. Griffining between the airships and jumping up on the boxes. or in the guild hall. I definitely take that. Our Guild Wars 1 guild leader was always AFK in the guild hall. It became a bit of a signature for him. And so when I took over the guild in Guild Wars 2, it definitely became a bit of a signature for me to be AFK in the guild hall somewhere. And in fact, I had, once the decorating was in full swing, I had one of the sort of really ambitious decorators of the guild make a little sitting area for me. So I can have I have a little chair that I sit in with a fireplace and some bookshelves when I'm
have a nook
reading or on Aww. The trading post. Yeah, I have a nook. I have a book nook, as a matter of fact.
I love it.
Perfection.
I was just thinking, it's not necessarily 100% what C&Q is asking, but Timberline Falls is the zone I like to be in for the ambient noise. Like, I find it just is very beautiful sounding. I'm not usually doing nothing there. I'm usually running around harvesting and gathering and all that sort of thing. Finally, we like to take note of artwork, community events, fan creations, and other notable Guild Wars pose a toast to their existence, the Toasts of Ascalon. This episode, we're actually giving props to ArenaNet's Alex Kane and community partner Jerome Jacinto for All or Nothing Requiem, the Ritlock chapter. So I've read it. Have both of you read it?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. Then hashtag wrote thoughts, and I wrote lots. And hashtag wrote some. We were talking a little bit before we started the show today. When I first saw it come out and saw a lot of the chatter about it, people were like, oh, that was a gut punch. Oh, this is just like, there's just so much there. And I thought, okay, well, I'm going to cry when I read this. And I think I heard about the intensity of it so much that it was so built up that, well, great. I totally didn't cry because I think I was expecting like something way worse to happen, like monstrosities or something. I don't know. But I love how they've delivered it. I like that we know there's a few more coming. It reminds me they had the short stories that they were released. Which Living World season was that? I can't remember. Is it one or two?
I think so. It's been a while since they've done it. I'm pretty sure it was one. Yeah. Because the one I remember is Marjorie Delacroix and E when they're sort of doing her introduction, and that was how a lot of the sort of mythos around E got built up.
Yeah. So those were just kind of, they were put out with not a lot of fanfare, and they were on the news page, if I remember correctly. So I feel like this is a little bit in that direction, but giving it its own space. And actually, I noticed that if you go to the releases page for All or Nothing, the link to Requiem is there with the Living Story chapter as well. So I think they're doing it in a really interesting way. I love that they're including the community partners, the artists, and I like, and Zero, you didn't overbuild it. It was every quarter that was talking about it being... You know, like, oh God, yeah. Alona's gonna cry. Like, heard it everywhere. But you had said, Zero, that it was in chat, had told me yesterday that it was very much like a, it felt like a choose your own adventure, even though it's necessary, but it has like, it feels like that a little bit with how they've structured it. And yeah, I thought it was great. And I'm super glad that there's more to come.
Yeah. So I was talking with Alona earlier about this, and I think for me, it felt very much in the vein of the Snargle comics. So if you have followed along with Snargle's journey on Reddit, wonderful series of cartoons that we've talked about on the podcast before, and many of them feature this idea of, you know, the commander as a char, struggling with who he is and what he's had to go through and the hurt that he's caused to people around him and, you know, how he must go on and what, you know, what is going to be the outcome of all this? Is it worth everything that he's had to do or give up? And so those kind of wrestling moments, I feel like we've seen that through the eyes of Snargle, and it's been really great. And so it was kind of funny reading this. I felt like there were elements of Snargle in Ritlock. I'm really happy that there is this platform and that they're working through, you know, they're going to add more of the story and different characters. But that was just kind of my initial thought when reading it.
One of the things, it was really interesting to get some of the introspection from Ritlock. Like the things, one, we didn't know that he had children.
That's true.
And there was those parts, but it was really interesting from the perspective of, you know, I just recently played the personal story for Char, where Ritlock obviously plays a fairly large role in some of them, all of them, I'm not sure. And so having that kind of like one-on-one FaceTime with Ritlock in the story, it was kind of an interesting of like, this is, you know, the Tribune and, you know, this big, strong, in charge, and then the reading the story about the doubts and the history. So I just thought it was interesting.
Yep.
Do you have thoughts, Spirit?
I should honestly read it again. There are a few things, so I don't wanna get down on it or anything, but it was hard for me to rationalize my perception of Ritlock's character and like the Steve Bloom voice and how he presents in game with the text that I was reading on the website. But I mean, it was like, I totally agree. It was a fantastic method of delivery and really interesting stuff that it contained, but mm-hmm. I had a hard time rationalizing the character with what I was reading. So
that's kind of what I was saying.
Yeah. For me, it didn't quite jive as much as I would have liked, but I enjoyed it. I'm glad they did it. It's just not, wasn't like the greatest. It didn't land perfectly for me like it did for some people. I'm really looking forward to the other ones, though. I'm really curious about Zephira and what she's up to, and I think Cave is the other one that mm-hmm. is pending.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to the other ones, and I think I'll probably be able to relate or understand them a bit better, hopefully, because I know their characters a little bit more, or even because Ritlock is such an established character in a way. And Zephira is not, and Cave is extremely guarded. I mm-hmm. feel like it'll be easier for me if there's stuff like, oh, by the way, I have some cubs, or here's how I got so hot then after, you know, 7 years of wondering.
He really loves that sword.
Yeah. it'll be easier for me to envision that or to work it into the gaps in their characters, since they aren't as present or iconic as Ritlock is. I think
I almost got the vibe like that Sahathan was like the ring from Lord of the Rings.
Oh my gosh.
It just like had this like some sort of supernatural hold over him. But yeah, I do understand what you're saying about that, because they were two very different, it was very different from the vision I had. But I also mm-hmm. thought it was interesting because I think the perception, like I was reading it from the point of view that what he presents is very different from what he is internally. And so,
yeah,
and we're getting the internal. So the fact that it is this like kind of jagged difference is the point.
Yep.
It.
Yep. Yep.
So
I agree. I can't remember where I read it, but I read, I wish I knew who to credit for this, but, actually I think, was it Dorora maybe tweeted about, you know, based on what happened in this chapter, and he was sort of speculating that the next legendary greatsword might be Sohathan or Megdare reforged, or both, or, you know, there's some different directions they could go with that, since they've been taking iconic weapons and making them into obtainable legendaries this season.
But you can get Sohathan from Hall of Monuments.
It's different. At least it wasn't always different, but I believe I think it was right before Path of Fire they changed the model for Sohathan. So it's a different model than the Fiery Dragon Sword, and it's its own thing now. Yeah. I mean, yeah, I don't know if that'll come to pass, but that would be one cool giant fiery greatsword way to go about putting in your final badass legendary of the season.
Oh yeah. That'd be great. And that is it. That is the show. So to get in touch with us, you can you can contact me #, on Twitter at #thetag. That's 2 A's in hash, or sigg.1735 in game. You can engage Alona at one big pear, like the fruit, or in game at onebigpear.1249. Spirit, would you like to share your Twitter handle or any way if you'd like to be contacted?
Yes, you can find me in-game if you're interested in what I'm up to. I'm spiritface.5089. That's my main account, and I'm usually raiding, so if I don't get back to you, it's because I'm busy in the moment, but I generally like to talk to people, so I don't mind if people want to contact me. Twitter and project-wise, probably the best way to get a hold of me is at Relics of Ore on Twitter, because spoiler alert, so the reason I'm here today is I was going to record a different podcast, and I showed up 24 hours early, and these nice ladies took pity on me and were like, hey, if you were ready to record a podcast anyway, do you want to record with us? So yeah, so I also have a podcast that I'm often on when I'm not wrong by 24 hours. And that is also at relicsofwar.com. And
it's currently the longest running, right?
We're very old. I don't think we can claim the longest running anymore, considering how many different breaks we've taken and just sort of the different forms that it's lived in over the years. But yeah, the podcast started in 2010. So yes, we're very old.
Wow. It's impressive. And you can also email us at hostsofascalon@gmail.com, and we will promise, or at least attempt to promise, to not hoard your emails for
months.
2 to 3 months next time. You can listen directly from our website at hostsofascalon.com, grab the RSS feed to use with your preferred podcast app, or subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, or Stitcher. And don't forget, we live stream the show at twitch.tv/hostofascalon on Wednesdays at 9 p.m. Eastern. Our next live Twitch show will be recorded on February 20th. Good show, Alona. And Spirit, thank you for joining us. So glad to have you on.
Thank you so much.
And to everyone listening, may Balthazar strengthen you.